Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
If they ever said the word blue-eyed soul brother, it's meant for him.
And unlike the other guy who had that title who got sued by the Ozzy brothers, this is not, he doesn't, it just flows. It's not.
Flows.
He's like, he's not forcing it like that other guy did.
He's taking his time.
Yeah.
That other guy.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Funny looking hair. You haven't heard from him since then?
Haven't heard from him since.
Heard there wasn't another beep. Beep, beep. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Crown Candy Kitchen. I think I'm, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go to Crown Candy today, Moses. I wanted a tamale and chili. I'm going tomorrow. Sprinkle a few.
Tried to go a couple weeks ago, the wife and I.
Line.
Couldn't get in the door, man.
Already?
Line already.
Now, was it the
line? She said, well, it's the wrong time of day.
Was it the line to get in there for good to eat, or was it line to get in there for the good candy?
Just to get in.
Yeah.
This time of the year, you got to wait all the way around the line. It looks like a Chuck Berry funeral.
And I know that they're busy.
Let's go to our guest line right now and say hello. What's up, Joe Fresta, friend of the blues? What's going on?
Hey, Charlie. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How you doing? Funeral.
You guys are making me hungry.
Like you do on Facebook.
Well.
Yeah. How about that?
The player.
Get down to Crown Candy.
You got to get down there, man. You got to see Andy because they got. So get the cherry malt or the Charlie Tuna special.
That's right.
I'm a cheeseburger freak. What do they got?
They got it.
Cheeseburgers.
They got the cheese. Matter of fact, let me look at my. I got a menu right here. They got the cheeseburger, but the BLT is their specialty. They call it the heart stopping. It'll stop your heart.
I don't need that. I don't need that.
But this is the killer with Crown Candy. If you can drink 5 or 6 malts, they're free.
Oh
really? Okay.
It should be.
It should be. It's right.
Wednesday night, the Blues open the playoffs in Minnesota, at Minnesota against the Wild. What's your take on that game, Joe?
Well, you know, I certainly like the matchup. If I had to pick, I'd rather them, you know, come out playing Minnesota rather than Chicago. Minnesota's got a good team. They had a little bit of a breakdown towards the end of the year, but they've started to. They started to turn it around a little bit the last few games, so they're certainly going to be ready to go for the Blues, and we'll see. I mean, the playoffs is like I call it the second season. It's like a different league almost, where you know the teams and players really step it up a notch in terms of speed, and of course the physicality gets turned up a few notches too. So we'll see. You know, how the Blues fare in that environment. And, you know, again, it's a long road to the Stanley Cup, and, we'll see how they do through this first round.
Joe, the Minnesota Wild this year have hung their hat on Devan Dubnyk the whole season. He was a Hart Trophy candidate early on, and the fact that they're a plus 58 this season makes them a very formidable opponent for the St. Louis Blues.
It does, and anybody who knows hockey knows that you know, it's all about goaltending in the playoffs. A hot goalie can take you a long, long way, because you know what happens is he starts to get inside the heads of the opponent, and shooters are almost afraid not to score on the guy, right? So
right.
He gets in your head a little bit. He gets hotter and hotter as things go. His team gains a lot more confidence playing in front of him. And not having to worry what's going on behind you, and take chances offensively, and to create more offense and score more goals. So, you know, that's what a goaltender does for a team. A hot goaltender does, and there's no timelier time to do that than in the playoffs.
Joe, with Yo going back to Minnesota, of course they played them already this year, but this is the playoffs. Both teams are going to expect a lot from one another, aren't they?
They are, and he's going to be the story, you know, because he was their former coach, and now he's with the Blues. He'll be going back to his former team. There's a lot of familiarity with the players and the coach and whatnot, and I think that'll be in the beginning anyway. That'll be the story. That'll be the storyline going in. But you know, as soon as they drop the puck and both teams start to feel each other out, and there becomes some other theme to the series that'll take place, you know, probably by the second or third period of the first game.
How big yesterday it came out that Vladimir Sobotka scored a goal yesterday. How big was the reacquisition of Vladimir Sobotka right before the playoffs?
Well, he certainly doesn't hurt. I mean, he was a heck of a face-off man, a tremendous face-off man. Mm-hmm. He plays big. You know, you talk about physicality for a little guy. He's not afraid of anybody. I mean, he gets in there and bangs guys around, and you know, he's gritty. He brings a lot of character, and that's what pumps up your teammates. You see a guy like him going in there and playing like he's 6'4". That's plenty of inspiration to go around the room and get all of your players to play like that. And so, even your big players, some of your players that are 6'2", 6'3", what have you, you know, motivates them, and maybe they better step it up as well.
Joe, you know, this playoff series is going to be key for the Blues in the fact that they're going to be facing the Minnesota Wild, who finished right ahead of them with 107 points. Now, with that being said, how is it that if the Blues beat Minnesota, how do you see them advancing with the next opponent? Who would it be if they got past Minnesota?
I've talked about this with some friends, you know, around in the locker rooms I play in, so if we kick it around a little bit. I've already picked Chicago to come out of the West. So I pretty much got, you know, the Blackhawks penciled in for the Blues to play in the next round if indeed they do win. And the Blackhawks are going to be looking for some revenge, no question about it. They'll have home ice advantage, and it'll be then it's really on. Then it's on. So that whole Chicago Blackhawks, St. Louis Blues rivalry is on. If the Blues advance, and you talk about physicality, it's going to be a very physical series if that does indeed take place.
How do you compare the Chicago Blackhawks team against last year's squad?
I think last year they were a little tired. I think when you go to the Stanley Cup, you know, a number of years, and you play that long, your core five or six guys that make up that nucleus of that team, you know, they played in the World Cup of Hockey. They went deep in the playoffs. It's a lot of hockey. It's a lot of wear and tear. And I think the Blackhawks just, you know, they're human. I think they just ran out of gas last year. That series could have gone either way. It went to a seventh game. I believe it went into overtime, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that series could have gone either way. The Blues could have just as easily lost that and been sent home, and the Blackhawks could have moved on. But, you know, I think they were tired. And but I think you're going to see that strong Blackhawk brand of hockey come back with their, you know, their nucleus of those five guys that they always have as their core. And they're going to charge for another Stanley Cup championship, no question about it.
There's no doubt that the Blues are going to be relying heavily on Vladimir Tarasenko. But who do you see besides him that's going to have to contribute in a big way for the Blues to get past this Minnesota Wild team?
Well, you're going to need guys like Steen to contribute. You know, everybody's going to have. They're going to have to get goals. That's playoff hockey, too, is kind of getting the, you know, guys that chip in that are usually the unsung heroes that chip in a goal here or there, or a game winner, whatnot. They're going to key in on Tarasenko. They're going to be all over him. They're going to assign a checker on him, and they're going to mark him the entire series. So it's going to be difficult for him to get free. And he's a guy who likes to, you know, get into a space and get that tremendous shot of his off to score goals, that quick release. But, you know, they'll have sticks on him. They'll be body to body, try to disrupt, his that shot and so forth. So it's going to be a different situation for him in the playoffs, because they're definitely going to key in on him. So, the Blues are going to have to rely on, you know, some of their, top players to be their top players.
How about Ryan Reeves so far?
How about it? A couple of goals in the last few games. He's that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, you get a guy like that who chips in here and there, and of course it was towards the end of the season and whatnot, but you know, that's what I'm talking about. You get a guy like Ryan Reeves. I mean, you see it all the time. Every year the playoffs come along, there's a guy like that that, you know, scores that game-winning goal to send them on to the next round or whatnot. And, it's fun to see a guy like him, you know, contribute offensively. He's a good player. I mean, Ryan Reeves, and, you know, we know what his first love is out there, and that's the, you know, mix it up and, you know, get in guys' faces and fight a little bit and all that thing. But, you know, the fighter today, and there's not many of them left, but, you know, you've got to be able to play the game too. You can't just be out there taking up a roster spot and just wait for the tap on the shoulder to go beat somebody up. Those days are gone. So, you know, Ryan Reeves can play. He can play hockey. He's got good hands. He's, for a big man, and he can skate and contribute in other ways, and that's what that's pretty much standard now in terms of tough guys in NHL.
We said that earlier. With all due respect to the guys like the Twists and the Proberts and those guys, Ryan Reeves has made himself a very viable commodity on this Blues team. Where those days have passed, they would get a guy like that, and they'd scratch him every once in a while. Ryan Reeves is in there night in, night out, and he and Scotty Upshaw and Kyle Brosiak on that fourth line, they do a very good job of chipping in and scoring some big goals for that team.
Yeah, they really do, and they take the pressure off some of their big guys, and, you know, that's what it's all about. You got to get contributions from players up and down the entire lineup, and you know, you bring up a guy like Bob Probert. He was certainly a guy, even from that era, that he could play the game. I mean, Bob Probert, you know, he had skills, and he was sort of a two-dimensional guy out there. In terms, he was more like the modern day tough guy, right? Yep. So he could contribute both ways, no doubt. But yeah, you're gonna need contributions for everybody. Sobotka is certainly gonna help. He, you know, with the faceoffs, especially with Stastny out of the lineup, faceoffs are huge in any game, but also in the playoffs. I mean, if you can win possession of the puck without the hop, you know, whether it's in your zone or their zone, it gives you a tremendous advantage.
We're talking about Probert right now. By the way, my guest tonight, of course, is Joe Fresta, Mr. Hockey in St. Louis. Bob Probert, the first time I saw Bob Probert, it was by accident, and he almost frightened me the way he looked.
Uh-huh.
Who are some of the top goons?
Yeah, I saw him one time in a dark bar. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty at all. I mean, he reminded me of Frankenstein. I'm serious.
I stayed away from him.
Yeah, he looked like he would hurt you with his hands.
With his eyes.
Yeah. Who are some of the top? Because some of the top goons way back in the day were not big guys, Joe. Who are some of the top goons you've ever seen?
Well, certainly back in the 70s, I'd have to say John Ferguson was probably the toughest player in the league. I mean, he played for the Montreal Canadiens, and, you know, but John was a big guy. I mean, but not like some of these guys today. I mean, you know, geez, they're big boys today. But, you know, John Ferguson, Noel Picard was a really a tough player.
Dave Schultz.
Dave Schultz, who came along a little bit later on, latter 70s with the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, Tiger Williams, you know, there, you can go on and on, with some of those guys, but those guys were more, you know, their role was a little more defined, in terms of, you know, why they were in the lineup. But you know, today I think the fighting element, you're going to start to see it, fade away. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see less and less fighting as the years go on. I mean, it's mandatory now that these guys wear a face shield. You can't remove, you know, before the guys kind of figured out, well, we'll just remove our helmets and then go at it. You know, that'll be our gentlemanly thing to do. Well, they made that illegal. You can't do that anymore. And, you know, who's going to want to punch plastic, you know? So,
can't remove the sweater anymore either.
You know, yeah, the sweaters are tied down, but, you know, the game's just gotten faster and faster and faster. You know, a general manager's not going to use up a roster spot for a guy who can just fight. You're going to have to be able to play the game. It's just sort of how the game has evolved and how it is evolving. In the next few years, it'll be rare that you see a fight.
Has it hurt the game or helped the game that the element of fighting has been transferred from hockey?
Well, I think the NHL has this this thought process that if they can get rid of fighting in hockey, that more of the mainstream sports fan will begin to embrace the game of hockey. They feel that it's because of, you know, the goons or the fighting or what have you is what's kept, you know, the mainstream American sports fan away from watching hockey. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody leave their seat to go get a box of popcorn during a fight. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
And also, Joe, the advent of these fighters being in the game, what will happen if that does go away on the ice? You're going to see a lot more stick work and a lot more of the more chippiness, that kind of play, as opposed to having a policeman coming out there and laying down the law.
That's right. I mean, they won't be allowed to police themselves. Right. And I think what'll happen is you're going to see more stick work. You're going to see sticks get higher, towards the head area, because let's face it, hockey's a highly charged, highly emotional game. And let's face it, you know, these guys are human beings, and they get aggravated and mad and upset and you know, something's going to give, you know. So that element of fighting where they could, you know, just, you know, work out their frustrations for a few minutes and throw them in the penalty box and then move on may not be there anymore.
Joe, are there let me shift gears real quick. Are there very many, Tom, you may know this as well, are there very many hockey clubs in the St. Louis area?
Oh, yeah. Hockey's huge in St. Louis.
Well, I know it's huge.
Both sides
many,
of the river.
Many clubs on both sides, mm-hmm. Junior as well as adults. Don't you play on a team?
Do I play on a team?
Uh-huh.
I play pickup hockey. I play early in the morning, 5 days a week.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, so I get up in the morning and we play.
I may do that.
We play for about an hour and a half. We get on the ice around 6:30 and play till about 8 o'clock, and we all, you know, shower up, go to work. But there's a lot of leagues. There's a lot of night leagues. I just prefer not to play at night anymore. A lot of senior men's leagues around town, and of course the youth hockey's just taken off. I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. Just had, you know, five or six kids go in the first round of the NHL draft from St. Louis. That's huge. I think that was more than Canada.
If a person that's listening out there wanted to know, where would he go to watch some of these games?
No.
These leagues.
Well, Brentwood Ice Rink has a lot of senior men's hockey at night.
Then Chesterfield.
Chesterfield did, but closed that rink down.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they building something else?
Yeah,
Maryland Ice. That's what it's going to replace.
Yeah, the Blues are trying to build a practice facility with multiple rinks in Maryland Heights. It's actually on St. Louis County ground in the park down there, but it's, you know, situated in Maryland Heights. There's another group trying to build an ice rink facility with, I believe it's two or three sheets of ice in Chesterfield to replace the one that's going to be knocked down here relatively soon.
Across from Chesterfield,
they'll come back, and we'll have places to skate, and kids will have places to skate, as well as the adults. And hockey's strong in this town, and you know it'll continue to go on and thrive. Of course, as the Blues go, so does amateur hockey.
A new facility just opened up not too long ago over on the east side of the river for the McKendree College, their team. It's in the O'Fallon, between O'Fallon and Lebanon area. And I know there's some other ice rinks that are coming about. This is all thanks to Brett Hull.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think he's, you know, you talk. I think Brett saved hockey.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think guys like Gary Unger put hockey on the map in St. Louis. There were a lot of rinks being built when in the early 70s and then kind of the Blues sort of faded towards the latter half of the 70s. They weren't exactly setting the world on fire, and hockey wasn't real popular among kids. And so then they experienced a little bit of a down slope in the amount of kids that were playing youth hockey. But at one time there were a lot of rinks being built and utilized back in the 70s because of, you know, the Blues and their success in the early, or the latter, the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Gary Unger, who was in town. Gary Unger was the Brett Hull of the 1970s. Right. And mm-hmm. so, you know, then after he left, they had a lull, and then Brett Hull came along and basically, you know, he breathed life back into youth hockey in St. Louis and got it going again. And a lot of these kids that you see that have gone pro, they're who I call the Brett Hull babies. They were the kids that were, when they were young, they were looking up to Brett Hull, you know, and watching Brett Hull and wanting to play hockey because of Brett Hull. And then, of course, we all know what happened. They brought up through the Blues, the St. Louis youth hockey system, and had some great coaching with a lot of the alumni that stayed in town and coached youth teams and whatnot. And away it goes, just like that. It's a phenomenal story. It really is. To have that many kids go in the first round of the NHL draft is just, it's just tremendous. Mm-hmm.
My guest, of course, is Joe Fresta. Joe, give me a bold prediction. What would the Blues do against Minnesota?
I think, you know what, they've been playing really well as of late, so I'm gonna pick them to beat Minnesota. And I think their coach has has something to prove as well. And so they've seemed to really rally around him and Mike Yeo, and I see them moving past the Minnesota Wild.
Okay. Joe, thanks for joining us. We'll do this again each and every Monday night, Joe.
Absolutely. Call me when you need me.
All right, we need you. Thank you.
All right, boys, take care.
All right, hey, Joe Fresta, Blues Insider with us. Yes. Before we tape our top of the hour, Moses is cold.
I can see he's got his hood up.
It's cold
there.
In here. It's
like Black Jesus.
He looks like a monk over
he
there.
Like really, he looked like Isaac Hayes.
He looks
Black
like
Moses. Looks like, really. Looks like a real right. Black Moses. Folks, when we come back, we'll do Joe and Moses' take. We'll take a look at the 40 most powerful people in Major League Baseball and the most powerful player in Major League Baseball. Yeah. You'll kind of be shocked, but it has a lot to do with his endorsements and kids.
Yep.
But the best player is behind him.
Hmm. Well, wait a minute. The best player is behind the guy that's most highly.
But this guy has more endorsements.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to think about that, Joe.
Yeah, more than
I think I know who it is.
Both of them, yeah.
No
brother.
Big Poppy's not
Yo,
on
there's no brother.
Big Poppy's
on, that
on
list.
The list.
Is he still?
Big Poppy's
okay.
still on the all list. Right. Big Poppy's
He's
still
influential,
on the list.
All right.
He's still on the list. Bill James is on the list.
Oh.
He should be.
Cybermetrics, yes.
Yeah, he should be on it. All right, we'll take a time out again, folks. This portion brought to you by the Dean Team of Kirkwood, where you can get a brand new Passat or a Super Beetle. That's the Dean Team of Kirkwood.